I'm Pastor Darrell Bailey. It's a pleasure to be with you this Wednesday night. I thank the good Lord. September the 9th of 2020, 20 of Elul of 5780, the Hebrew calendar. Tonight, as we get back on the mountains of the Bible, amen. Mountains of the Bible. Tonight, as we're going to be dealing with our second one, and that is Mount Moriah. The climb to faithfulness is the second in our series. This is the mountain of dedication. And I thank God as we get ready to go into that. I'm going to have a word of prayer and a time of worship that we'll go into. And I'm just so thankful for this great opportunity. I thank God as we look at that tonight, each and every one of us, as we go into the Bible. Let's listen to a little bit. Amen. On the rough side of the mountain. We're going to be talking about the mountain man Abraham tonight. Amen. I'll tell you, we're all doing our best to make it in. And so I hope and pray tonight as we're going up on the rough side of the mountain. Tonight with Mount Moriah, the climb to faithfulness, amen. The mountain man Abraham that we're going to talk about. Last time we talked about the mountain man Noah. And I thank God as Mount Ararat was a place of new beginning. Tonight as we do this series, we picked out about 12 mountains from the mountains of the Bible that we're going to be speaking about that will speak to our hearts, amen. And so I thank God as we look at Mount Moriah tonight that it's only a few hundred feet above the valleys that are adjacent to it. What a blessing it was to go to Israel back in 2008 with John Hagee and his wife and his son and his family. And man, we had a wonderful time in Jerusalem, amen, and in Israel altogether. But I thank God, when you begin to look at the mountains of the Bible, we're talking about one of the most important real estates in the world, amen. I thank God this is only a few hundred feet, Mount Moriah, above the valleys that are adjacent to it. Its length is about maybe 11 or 12 miles from one end to the other. All the neighboring mountains are much bigger, even including the Mount of Olives. But this hill that's on the border between the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, I tell you, Moriah, it may be small in size as a mount, but it's significant. It's astronomical. And I thank God this is one of the spots on the planet that's probably the most valuable place of real estate on earth. This little one area that's been contested by religions and different nations, it's sacred area to all the Christians because of the ministry of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem, amen. And it's a sacred area to the Muslims because of the Dome of the Rock, a shrine that was built 1,300 years ago that commemorates the Muslim tradition that the Prophet Muhammad miraculously traveled to Jerusalem by night and ascended from there into heaven. But you know what? There ain't a bit of evidence that he was ever even in Jerusalem. He never went to Jerusalem. And, you know, of course, the horse that he rode on was named Barak. there was no evidence, however, that Muhammad was ever in Jerusalem. And it's not mentioned in any of the Quran. I think it's just another one of those made-up things, not making fun of anything else, amen, but just telling you the truth tonight. And so Mount Moriah is one of the most important things for the Jews because it's a place where Abraham, in the act of dedication to the Lord, offered up his son Isaac as a sacrifice to the Lord because of God's command. Now, thank God, don't worry tonight. We're not going to try to get too excited. I grew up in church where it was exciting. The preaching was never dead, and it was never dull. But I thank God, one thing I will say about the preaching, even though did I say this in a complimentary way, is it's hard to get a drink of water from a fire hydrant. Amen. You know, you just can't do it. It's just blasting. Amen. Boy, the preaching was so live and so good and so fast. Amen. You better forget trying to take any notes because it's coming out. It's coming at you, praise God. And so I thank God tonight we'll try not to get too excited to where you can understand us, you can follow us, You can see us, amen. And I thank God as we go with the Word of God tonight that you can follow right along with us as we go through this tonight. But before we go any further, amen, let's open up with a word of prayer. We need your prayers for our cameraman and our friend and our brother in Christ, John Underwood, as he's dealing with pneumonia. He's got the tracheotomy that's set up and to help get rid of that pneumonia. And so they've done this to where he can be a little bit more mobile. Please, you remember John Underwood and LaVon Underwood during this time as he's at Redmond. And has been now for over 5 weeks. And you just lift them up in the mighty name of Jesus. They need your prayers. I pray for that pneumonia, that it'll be moved on out of his body, that he can continue on. I thank God for all the prayer chain that's been praying today for that need. And also I want you to remember my supervisor, Kevin Randall, amen, as he's dealing with a hip replacement and some irregularities of the heart, heartbeat and things. I want you to lift him up as well. Another co-worker of mine's daughter, Heather, that has COVID-19, want to lift her up as well. Dan Worthy, he's getting scheduled for his eye surgery where there's cancer. And if there's too much cancer in it, they'll have to sew his eye up for about 30 days and go back and do reconstructive surgery. Lift up and help pray for my brother in Christ, Dan Worthy, as well. And I want you to continue remembering all the families with a death angel. I've got a co-worker as well that her best friend, Kim Crow, her best friend passed away. And so I want you to remember her. I've got another co-worker with Georgia Power, Martin Reese. His wife's mother passed away, and they're still dealing with that. And also my manager at the Polk County campus and Georgia Northwestern Technical, Donna Baldwin, her children's father, he passed away a while back as well. Had been fighting cancer. A lot of deaths. Susie New, one of our deacon's wives, her brother passed away. One of our longtime members and longtime loved that we just, I'm going to tell you, that family, Helen Bradley, you Bradley, that is a marvelous family. We will miss them. She had Alzheimer's now for some time. She was our financial secretary for many years at People's Valley Baptist. And we want you to just lift up that family, all of them, for the great needs. Very well here tonight as they're meeting at 7 o'clock. For the last 30 minutes over at the church. They've been over there. I'm running a little bit late because of all this technology. Boy, my hair, I'm looking at my computer. It's still updating in front of me. Ain't no telling how much longer I've been waiting. Amen. But I went ahead and just went on my phone and using it tonight. And so you just pray that the Lord's will would be done tonight as we go through this series, Mountains of the Bible, talking about Abraham and talking about Mount Moriah, the climb to faithfulness, amen. And so I want you to remember all of these many needs. And I know that I'm leaving somebody out tonight as I get to mention a lot of names. We've got a lot of our elderly that we need you to pray for. I'll tell you, Gail George is dealing with cancer. We lift her up and we praise her and thank you, Lord, for watching over her, along with the many of our members as well. The death angels come in and taken over. Thank you for the prayers of my mother as she's still in therapy and going forward. And so you just continue to remember People's Valley Baptist Church and all the many needs of it as well. Don't forget our lost loved ones, most importantly, that we pray for them and we lift them up. And so let's have that word of prayer. Father, we ask in the mighty name of Jesus tonight to intervene for Brother John Underwood, for each and every one of those where the death angel is coming into them, those that have COVID-19, those on the front lines, Father. Lord, I pray, Lord, for all of our doctors and nurses. I pray for all the firefighters. I pray for every policeman, Father. I pray for everyone across this nation. Lord, those, Lord, that are out there, Lord, everyone is important to you. And I pray for this upcoming election, Father, that, Lord, that you'll be with those ones that are running. And Lord, Father, I'm not trying to divide sides, but Lord, as I pray for President Trump, because the Bible teaches us to pray for our leaders. And Lord, I pray for him as our leader. And Lord, I pray for him as being our next leader to continue on as the President of the United States because of his biblical principles, that he stands on the Word of God, Father. And Lord, that he bases that. Lord, we respect life. And Lord, I thank God for the conception of life. And Lord, I thank God that he is a president that bases things on the biblical principles. And Lord, we're going to vote for him. And Lord, I want to encourage everyone to ask the Lord to help them who they're going to vote for. And Lord, that they would do that and they would be faithful and do that. Lord, I'll be doing absentee ballot, but Lord, I'll be voting for him. And Lord, I pray that many of us have time to prepare and to do those things and do the right thing to be able to vote this time. Lord, I ask you for this nation to bring it together. Lord, you can't bless a nation that's divided and that's in disunity. And Father, nothing can. No place of business, no corporation can run when it's divided. Lord, I pray as People's Valley, as we always come together, bless us, Lord, Father, and go with us, Lord, that we will continue to be strong and go forward as we have these last 20 years, Father, that the Lord's blessed us. Lord, we've saw a lot of good men and women come and go, Father, and we miss them with all of our heart. We're sad in our heart. And Lord, we know that things are not the same but Lord, we've got to move forward. We've got to keep going. And Lord, with your help, Lord, of being dedicated to move forward, even with COVID-19, Father, we can't just stop in our tracks and just call it quits. We've got to continue to go forward, Lord, no matter what. One door closes, another opens. And so, Father, tonight, bless Brother Bob Carroll over at the church as they're meeting and teaching the Word of God tonight, Father. Bless those that are not able as I'm speaking to them tonight on Facebook, Father, and sermon audio. And God, I pray for those that are lost, that need, Lord, that rededication. They need to get into the family of God. Lord, also I pray for my brother in Christ, David Robinson's, Lord, that's rededicated his life. He's trying to overcome the addiction of alcohol. And Father, I lift him up, Father, as we're supporting him in this, the recovery program of Saddleback, along with the grief share of all those that are grieving that we've mentioned, Father, that we would minister to each and every one of these needs through the biblical principles of the Word of God. Thank you, God, for that scripture that we have to hold on to and gives us a solid foundation. And God bless us tonight as we give glory and honor to you. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. I thank God for all the many blessings as he gives us tonight. Let's get into a quick worship as I'll not go into a quick time tonight as we do this. And so I thank God. I surrender all tonight. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all, all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, now I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation, glory, glory to his name. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Praise God. Amen. Boy, I tell you, nothing like them good old time songs, man. That gets you stirring in your heart, and praise God, a pep in your step. Thank God. Hallelujah. I'm in the family of God. I ain't never been more excited all my life. And I praise God tonight as you tune us in here at our Wednesday night series, Mountains of the Bible. Tonight, Mount Moriah, talking about the mountain man Abraham. Amen. And I thank God his climb to faithfulness tonight. Amen. I thank God as we realize that David purchased the threshing floor of Arunah. The Jebusite, about 1,000 years later, he built an altar to the Lord to behold, basically to hold back a plague from God's people, according to 2 Samuel 24, verses 18 and 21. It was purchased for 600 shekels of gold. This purchase was important because, in fact, it demonstrates that the Jews received this area through a legal transaction. The Temple Mount is properly legal. It belongs to the Jews. There ain't no dispute about it out there, folks. Palestinians and whoever else you are. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I've never saw Palestinians and Jews get along better. When you go to Jerusalem, the news blows it all out of proportion. But we saw neighborhoods after neighborhoods that they live side by side, happily and lovely together. Nothing like what the news media turns it all out to be. I'm telling you the truth tonight. And so, when David died, his son Solomon constructed a magnificent temple to the Lord on the property. He leveled this area for a platform where the temple could be constructed, and the Temple Mount was to be placed as a dedication to the Lord. Tonight, as we look at this, we look at some events that took place in Genesis chapter 22. I'm going to be putting the scripture up right here. And I thank God as we begin to look at this and realize that how blessed that we truly are tonight as we look at the events of what went on in Mount Moriah with Abraham taking Isaac, amen. Some of those principles that he taught us about dedication. Dedication is something that's developed. Devotion is made durable. It's dynamic. Faithfulness is made firm and it's fixed. And allegiance is something that's appraised. It's amplified. Surrender is something that's strengthened. Persistence is something that is promoted. Now, thank God. Let's get started on a wonderful climb that we can get a little bit closer and learn about some of the things. And one of the first things that we looked at tonight about Mount Moriah in Genesis chapter 22 is the climb to faithfulness, amen, on the mountain of dedication, amen, Mount Moriah, of the mountains of the Bible. I thank God tonight I'm going to be talking about three truths that will help you climb your mountain, that will give you a climb to faithfulness, amen, that will give you a mountain of dedication that we need in our lives. Hallelujah. And I thank God as each and every one of us begins to look at the Word of God. And so tonight, one of the first things that we'll see is they're going to be tests in your life, and they all mean something. They all mean something, amen. Well, I thank God. As we look at Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, we see a dedication that involves a time of proving or testing, amen. Because the Bible says that it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. That really means, even though that's the King James, it means more tested. He tested Abraham. And he said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. Well, I thank God. Here we begin to realize this dedication that involved a time of proving and testing. That God, I thank God, as the word tempt means to test or to prove, amen. All the little tests that Abraham had faced up to this point in his life, they were used to prepare him for the greatest test of his life. It was a test that was basically that God knew what he was doing and what he was trying to accomplish in Abraham's life. A whole burnt offering signified a complete surrender of a worshiper and a complete acceptance by God. And so the demand for a human sacrifice was certainly radical, and it may seem to Abraham out of character for God. You know why? Because even when this is over with, God has never, ever, never required a human sacrifice for sacrifice, ever. Now thank God. You say, what about Jesus? I'm going to tell you, that's when we get to that, we'll talk a little bit more about that. But God has never sought human sacrifices ever in the biblical sense of the Word of God, amen. The demand for human sacrifice was certainly a radical, and it may have seemed to Abraham out of character, but Abraham would not disobey God without fully understanding what God was about to do in his life. Your trials and your tests may not make any sense, but God allows those trials for a reason. And he uses our times of proving and our testing to develop our faith and to resolve to follow him no matter what happens in our lives. Amen. I thank God as the blacksmith heats up the metal to mold, to shape, and to harden it into a useful tool. God uses the fires of testing to mold us into maturity and to develop our diligence and dedication. Amen. He uses the proven times to prepare us for some greater task, amen, in the future to understand. And so I thank God it involves that dedication of time and proving, amen. But he tells us, he said, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. We see here that in verse 2, it talks about the dedication that involves a time of proving or testing, amen. Well, I thank God, Abraham, he rose up early in the morning, and he saddled his ass, and he took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he clave the wood for the burnt offering, and he rose up, and he went unto the place of which God had told him. And then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off. You know, how is your obedience to the Lord? when he speaks to your heart about something he wants you to do, hey, let me ask you, do you do it? Are you putting his word into practice in your life? And you know, if you're going to be dedicated to the Lord, you need to be pliable in your spirit. You need to be flexible, amen. And so I thank God as we see this, we also see that, as I said, Abraham rose up early in the morning. It talks about being flexible in his spirit, amen. And so I thank God. Here Abraham had implicit faith in the Lord that he would take care of Isaac. And he believed that both of them would return to their servants after they worshiped the Lord. Amen. And so I thank God. He believed that God would provide the lamb for the burnt offering. And Abraham was so confident that if Isaac was sacrificed, that God would bring him back to life. I tell you, did you know that he felt this way? You know why? How do I know that? Because all you got to do is go over to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17, 18, and 19. The Bible says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. And so I thank God. The Bible tells us that. Hallelujah. And so the big part of dedication to the Lord, amen, is trusting in his care and the promises that he made to us. You know, if you doubt God and his word and his promises or his ability to take care of you, you're most likely going to struggle in being dedicated to him. And so it's sad. You've got to enjoy God's promises, and you've got to watch the Lord come through for us time and time again. Amen. We can find a great peace and joy by resting in his word. Amen. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And thank God. Jeremiah 33, 3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. You know, every one of us, as we look and realize, dedication is not only involves a time of proving. It not only is a pliable spirit that's flexible, but it's a promise of God's provision. It involves a time of preparation. And I thank God we realize it tells us about, in verses 3 and 4, that he's talking about, as I go on to verse 5, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Amen. It involves the promise of God's provision as well. You look on down in to verse 8, amen, that it begins to tell us that as well as Genesis chapter 22, verse 8. Looking on ahead, it says, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Oh, I thank God for that. You know, as we look and realize that dedication involves a lot of things, amen. And so I thank God. But as we move right on along, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering. He laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Now I thank God. Here is dedication that involves a time of preparation, and it is a time of puzzlement sometimes as well. Because Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, he laid it upon Isaac his son. Dedication involves preparation. And when God calls you to do something, many times preparation may be needed in order to fulfill the task at hand. You know, we need to prepare ourselves sometimes financially, physically, mentally, just like we're getting training when we went to school, amen. You know, I want to say that if God has called you to preach, then you need to get some training or schooling in a Bible college or an institute if that's possible. Study, get in the Word of God, study. You know, there's nothing wrong with studying. Mark it down. Anyone that mocks studying of the Scripture, listen, they need to get in the altar, because there ain't nothing wrong with taking time out and private time to study the Scriptures and the Word of God. I'm amazed at preachers today that make fun of other preachers who study God's Word. Preacher, shame on you. You need to get in the Word of God yourself, amen. No wonder the sermons are boring and weak and empty and filled with errors. You know what? We get back into the book of Genesis and Abraham's situation. He prepared the items that's needed for the burnt offering and needed toward the mount. And Isaac was puzzled about the fact that the lamb, the most important element of the sacrifice, was missing. Where's the lamb? Where's the lamb at? Beloved, if you're dedicated to the Lord, there are going to be many times that you're going to be puzzled. God's not going to let you in on everything about the test, hallelujah. Events may take place that hurt you, or you don't even quite understand them. You might get sick. You may have a conflict with another, or your plans may flop or flip. A loved one may die. You may wonder how God's going to solve a problem or provide for that need that you're going through. Amen. What do you do? You know, I tell you, I've been there many, many a times. Do your best and leave the rest to the Lord. Let me say that one more time. Do your best and leave the rest to the Lord. That's what Abraham did. You may not know everything of what God has intended for you. Amen. And so I thank God. As Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and he said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Oh, I tell you. Well, I thank God. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. This involves a time of patience and waiting on the Lord. Amen. Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb. You know, Abraham was patient. Amen. He waited on the Lord. Amen. He was convinced that the Lord would provide a lamb for the burnt offering. The word provide, right there, it talks about, basically, it's a word that says ra'ah. Ra'ah, the word, the Hebrew word provide, which means God will see to it, or God will take care of it. And believe me, God will take care of it. What a great attitude that Isaac's life was on the line, but Abraham patiently waited on God to care for his son. We got to have that same kind of attitude, men and women of God. If you're to be dedicated to the Lord, you need to learn to wait on God and to be patient. You know what? Well, I tell you, the army did that for me. Man, we'd get up at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. We'd go 12 miles. Hey, man, we'd get on over there. There wouldn't even be nobody over there. We'd sit down on a ground out in the middle of nowhere. And finally, the people that came to teach us would show up. Well, man, we just waited and waited. And I thought, oh, Lord, help me. What in the world is this army about? Hurry up and wait. Hurry up and wait. You know, if you're to be dedicated to the Lord, you need to learn to wait on God and be patient. And that's where most people tend to struggle. Most people hate to wait when life is not going well. I admit, I don't either. But realize that God does not work on the same table as you and I. You need to learn to wait upon Him for your needs and for His direction. Psalms 27:14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalms 33:20. Oh, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He's our help and our shield. You know, I thank God, every one of us, as we go through life, God uses single men and women to do more alone than they could do if they had family obligations. Other times, you know, however, a spouse is needed sometimes. Every one of us, as we go through life today, you know, we've got to help one another. And we've got to stick together, amen. And so I thank God, all of us, as we go through life, thank God for His provision. And thank God for giving us spouses, giving us families, giving us children, sons and daughters, amen. And so I thank God, we go right on. It says in verse 9, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there. He laid the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son, and he laid him on the altar upon the wood. He did exactly what God had instructed him to do. Here involves persistence under pressure and tested priorities, amen. Well, I thank God, every one of us. Abraham, he arrived. It was now crunch time. The altar was built. Isaac was bound, and he was laid upon it. And I'm sure this was a confusing time for Isaac. He didn't understand this. He may have wondered, Dad, what are you doing, Dad? Hey, what's going on here, Dad? You know, Abraham's priorities in putting God first were under immense testing. You know, I personally feel the pressure that he faced was something else. Imagine all of the different emotions that were running through his mind. He completely surrendered his will to the Lord and persisted to do what God commanded him to do. You know, if we're going to be dedicated to God, we too need to surrender our will to Him and resist the pressure to go our own way and to do our own will. This is the main reason why many Christians, they don't live for Christ. They're more concerned, listen, they're more concerned about what they want to do instead of what the Lord wants them to do. You know, Paul addressed the issue of the battles of selfishness and conformity. You know, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Read that sometimes. Make a note to read that, amen. I don't have a lot of time to get into everything, but let me see if I can get in a little. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what Brother Paul told us. A snug private hotel room is a welcome sight for traveling salesmen after a long day. But imagine arriving at your hotel only to find that it's so full that the rooms had to be shared. You know, I tell you, reminds me of a story that happened back in September the 14th of 1898 at the Central Hotel in Wisconsin. John Nicholson arrived at 9 p.m. to find every room taken. A clerk suggested that he share the room, room 19, with a stranger called Samuel Hill. Before crawling into bed, Nicholson opened his Bible, and at the age of 19 years old, he had promised his dying mother that he'd read that Bible every night when he went to bed. Hill, asleep in the next bed, he awoke. "Mr. Hill," said Nicholson, "hey, will you pardon me if I keep the light on just a little bit longer? I make it a practice to read the Word of God and have a little chat with Him before I retire every night." "Read it aloud," said Hill, jumping up. "Hey, I'm a Christian too, praise God." Nicholson read John 15, and the two of them knelt for prayer, praise God. They stayed up until 2 a.m., amen, discussing the needs of a traveling Christian, hallelujah. Nicholson and Hill, they bumped into each other again in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. And Hill bumped into each other again. As they went on further, they announced the plans for an association of Christian salesmen, setting the first meeting for July the 1st of 1899. Only three of them showed up, Nicholson, Hill, and William Knights. The men, nonetheless, launched their organization to mobilize the Christian travelers for encouragement, for evangelism, and for service. And they dedicated themselves after the Old Testament character of Gideon, who was willing to do whatever God asked. You know, since all the early Gideons were traveling men, the question arose as how that they could be witnesses in the hotels where they spent so much time. Someone suggested that the Gideons encourage every hotel that they patronized to furnish a Bible for its patrons. And at 1907, the Chicago Meeting, someone went so far as to suggest the Gideons place Bibles in all of the rooms of the hotels. The idea was adopted, and the first distribution of Bibles occurred at the Superior Hotel in Iron Mountain, Montana in 1908. And since then, over 750 million copies of Scripture have been distributed in over 170 nations. Beloved, if we're to be dedicated to the Lord, we too need a Gideon attitude and do whatever God asked us to do. Boy, I tell you, something starts somewheres. But I thank God, he said, and Abraham stretched forth his hand, he took the knife to slay his son, amen, as that pressure and that test, amen, is there. We go on, he says, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and he said, "Abraham, Abraham," and he said, "Here am I." Boy, I thank God. Here involves the perception as well. He goes on, he says, and he said, "Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me." Boy, Abraham was in the process of taking the life of his son, as God commanded. God intervened and got the answer that he was looking for concerning Abraham. The man was truly dedicated to the Lord. I think God yielded to the will of God, and his obedience was implicit. You know, the Lord called out to Abraham and to speak to him, and thank the Lord that Abraham was perceptive. He was alert, and he was attentive to the Lord. And God called out to him, and he told him not to harm Isaac, amen. There was a change in plans. The sacrifice was uncompleted, but not incomplete. God regarded the sacrifice as complete because he did not withhold Isaac from him. Beloved, if you're to be dedicated to God, it's vital that we be alert and perceptive to his leading. And we need to understand also that we may have a change in plans because life is constantly changing for us. With those changes, we may have to alter or adjust our lives in order to do what God wants us to do. You know, I tell you, sometimes a lot of people hate change. I ain't great about change. But I thank God, that's what God wants us to be, flexible. He wants us to be pliable as well. Amen. And so I thank God. Abraham lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. We see the provisions that's been provided by God in verses 13 and in verse 14. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. You say, man, you act like you... Oh, yeah. You know why? Because I walked near Jehovah Jireh. I was close at it. Praise God right there. Amen. And I thank God that's the place where the Temple Mount is today. Boy, I thank God every one of us, as we look. Dedication involves the promise of provisions as we look at. God answers our prayers. He does provide for our needs. And He is the Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. The confidence that Abraham had in the Lord came to fruition. And God came through. He provided a lamb for Isaac, just as Abraham believed by faith. Amen. What a wonderful blessing that it is to see the Lord provide for our needs. His provision inspires our dedication, our devotion to Him. And I thank God His provision equips us to trust Him more, and also to grow faith and to have confidence in Him for the needs in the future, because His provisions also enable us to be a blessing to others that have needs. When it came to the matter of salvation, God provided for us the Lamb of God, His only begotten Son, to pay the price for our sins and to give us eternal life by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. Thank God He provided what we could not do or give. His provision is what frees a man from the bondage of sin. I wonder, if you had your only son, if you had your only daughter, would you sacrifice them? No, I don't think so. But God sacrificed His Son for our sins. Amen. He required it of Abraham, and he passed the test. Amen. And so I thank God, as we come up to the second of the three truths to help you climb your mountain, they're going to be tests in life, and they all mean something. They all mean something. But I thank God the second truth to help you climb your mountain is, there comes a time when obedience, action, is the only meaningful gauge or measure of your faith. Amen. Well, I thank God, as many of us go through life today, and we realize that we've got to be able to do that, because I thank God, as we look, is that every one of us, there will be a test. You know, as it said in the verse 1, there'll be tests in life, and they all mean something. Amen. You know, I've wondered sometimes in school. I've taken classes and I ain't never used them in a day of my life. Now, I mean no disrespect for that. But you know what? I've been tested in all sorts of things in school and academics. And so I thank God, every one of us, when God teaches you something, He'll give you an opportunity to put it into practice. And every one of us, when we go through life today, I thank God, He will test you. Why does God need to test us? Doesn't He already know everything? Doesn't He know what my response and what my reaction will be? I know that's what you're thinking. Yes, He knows everything about you. He knows your past. He knows your present. He knows your future. Hallelujah. And you can say that He's planned everything about your past and your present and your future. And yet, we see very clearly in the story of Abraham and Isaac that sometimes God chooses to take the path of discovery with us. Amen. It's like He's saying, I'm calling on you to do this, and I'm going to wait while I give you an opportunity to do it. You know what? Let's see what happens. You know, I thank God, the discovery is not for God alone. It's for you and I. As so well that I'm going to tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that the limits of your faith and the willingness to obey, is He will give you a chance to back up your words. And we sometimes, as we look at this and begin to realize some of the things. And so I thank God, yes, there will be tests in life, and they all mean something. Amen. But I thank God also, there will come a time when obedient action is the only meaningful gauge or measuring of your faith. One of the things I love about this story is that we don't have any clue what Abraham was feeling as these events took place. You know, we can imagine that he was feeling confused. He was afraid. He was overwhelmed. And I tell you, but when it comes down to it, Abraham's feelings don't really play a role in the significance of this story. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm going to say that again. Abraham's feelings, they don't really play a role in the message of this story. It's what Abraham did that made all of the difference in the world. Amen. The book of James, that tells us, was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see his faith, his actions that were working together, amen. And his faith was made complete by what he did. And I'm telling you, this was out of the book of James chapter 2, verses 21 all the way down to verse 24. Read that later on. If you've been coming to church very long, you know that we're saved by faith, not by works. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You've got to step out on nothing and take the Lord at his word. It's all mercy. It's all grace. Our works themselves, they don't save us. But there comes a time when they confirm the extent of our faith. Put up or shut up. You know? And our works themselves, if they don't save us, it's nice when Christian's life feels good. Yeah, sure. And when obeying God feels like the easiest thing in your life. But feelings, listen, they come and go. Some days I may not feel like I'm saved, even though I know I'm saved. I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. But I tell you, there's some days I may not feel like I'm saved. But if you're not feeling it on any particular day, you can take comfort in this, because your feelings will never be the most meaningful measure or gauge of any aspect of your Christian life. Did you hear that? Listen one more time. Listen. Your feelings will never be the most meaningful measure or gauge of your faith in the aspect of your Christian life. It's what you do that counts. Let me say that one more time. Like them fire hydrant preachers, one, twos, and threes. It's what you do that counts. And I thank God, every one of us, there's a principle. The best of all of this is, it's called show, don't tell. You need to show God, don't tell, do it. It's your character is angry or kind or indecisive or generous. Don't just tell us that he or she has this or that quality. Show us in the action of your character that it takes, amen. Because a character is what a character does. Show God your character. Show him what you got, amen. Not about all your feelings, praise God. Your good works will never save you, but your actions will tell you something about the extent of your own faith. Jesus told a parable, and he said about two sons whose father asked them to work over in the vineyard one day. One said, hey, you know, I will, Dad, but he didn't. The other said that he wouldn't, but he did. And then he asked, which of the two did the will of his father? In Matthew 21, 31. We can take comfort in the fact that our faith isn't measured by our feelings. And we can also take this as an essential guideline to remember. It's not enough to feel a certain feeling. It's not enough to talk a certain talk, amen. I thank God. And it's not enough to be filled with good intentions. There comes a time when the most meaningful measure of your faith, listen, will be the actions that you take. And that brings us up, I thank God, as we get on over to our third truth here in just a minute. But it says, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abram out of heaven the second time, and said, by myself have I sworn, said the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son. Here we see the promotion and the precious blessings that he says. And then the third, each test leads you to the next level in Christ. Each test that you go through in life leads you to the next level of life in Christ. Amen. Well, I thank God every one of us, you know, as verses 16, 17, and 18, this is a test that's not without meaning. It's a test not without meaning, because this isn't some kind of algebra test. When Abraham passed the test, he was ready to experience the fullness of God's promises, amen. And so it's the same thing for you. God will bring tests into your life so that you can pass them and move on to the next level of blessings that he has in store for you. And so I thank God. You know what? Hey, as we look, he says, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And he says lastly, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now, I thank God. He said there are going to be tests in your life, and they all mean something. There's going to come a time when obedient action is the only meaningful gauge and measuring of your faith. And then each test leads you to the next level of life in Christ. That's the three truths that help you climb your mountain. Amen. I thank God. Mount Moriah, the climb to faithfulness, the mountain man Abraham himself. Hallelujah, in the series, Mountains of the Bible. Now, I thank God as we look at this. What kind of test does God give us? The Bible is clear that the test is not temptation. It's very clear. God doesn't try to bait you into doing something so that He can punish you later. God don't work that way. That's entrapment. Read that over in the book of James, in James chapter 1, verse 13. The tests that come your way will be an opportunity to do the right thing. The tests that come your way will be the opportunity to do the right thing. And the opportunity to speak the word of encouragement. The opportunity to help somebody who's been knocked down by life. To be an encourager, amen. The opportunity to show some love, amen. To be patient, amen. To serve, amen. To give, praise God. Hallelujah. That God brings these opportunities into your life. And it's like He says, here it is. What are you going to do with it, amen? What are you going to do with this test, amen? With each act of obedience, we move one step closer to the fulfillment of God's promise. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm not preaching at you or to you tonight about this because I very much know about tests. I tell you, I'm with you on this as I take this in myself. The tests that you face in life, they're going to be many, and they'll never be without meaning, but they'll serve a purpose. And they give you a chance to measure your faith in the most meaningful way, to take action. And every time you respond with obedience, you're one step closer to the promise-filled life that God has planned for you. As I close out here tonight, mountains of the Bible, I thank God. Mount Moriah, the climb to faithfulness, the mountain man Abraham himself, the mountain of dedication where he left nothing back. He gave everything that he had. His son Isaac, amen. Whatever the Lord asked, he gave it as a sacrifice on the mountain. And the Lord provided the sacrifice. I want to say something about why these events had to happen and why God would ask such a thing of Abraham. I said I'd do this earlier. The one reason that this story is resonated with the people of the ancient culture is it helped them understand in a dramatic way that God is not the God of human sacrifice because He does not require it of Abraham. He intervened at the most crucial time, making it clear that it is not something that He requires His people to do. You know what? Instead, we see in this message of Genesis chapter 22, the lamb for the sacrifice. God said to Abraham, take your son, Genesis 22, verse 2, your only son whom you love. But I'm going to tell you, right here, this is powerful. Because I thank God, this is the first time the word love appears in the Bible, and it's connected to the concept of sacrifice. The story of Abraham and Isaac, it foreshadows the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Like Isaac, Jesus was the only son of his father. Like Isaac, he would carry on his back the wood that would become an instrument of death. Like Isaac, listen, he would quietly submit to the will of the Father. God didn't require Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, but He did use the story to foreshadow what would happen some 2,000 years when Jesus' death on the cross would become a sacrificial act of love. We have all sinned and we've all fallen short of God's idea. None of us can claim otherwise, but we know who we are. Listen, who we really are. And we need forgiveness. We need mercy. We need grace in every one of us within the sound of my voice tonight and this Wednesday night. As Jesus hung on that cross on Calvary, every sin that you had ever or would ever commit was placed upon Him that night. My sin was placed on Him. Your sin was placed upon Him. He paid the price, hallelujah, for the punishment that every one of us in this world deserve, amen. And boy, I thank God, listen, we were forgiven, we were washed clean, we were made new. That's what His death has accomplished. His grace is free. All you and I have to do is ask. He calls us to a life of obedience, and that's what this message has been about. But I want you to make it, very clear that you don't work your way into God's presence. You could never be that good, and instead, it's a gift to be received. And once you receive the free gift of salvation, that he offers through his son, God will use your every step of obedience to lead you further into the fullness of his promises. Listen, will you pray this prayer with me? If you've never asked Jesus Christ, understanding that I'm a sinner, but believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross to free me from the full punishment of my sins, I now receive him as my Lord and Savior. And from this day forward, I desire to live to please Christ, and in placing my trust in him for the gift of eternal life. Say it any way that you want to say it, but mean it in your heart, amen, and take it to heart that the Lord, if you step out on faith and take him at his word and trust him to be the keeper of your soul, you can pray that prayer and you can ask the Lord to be the keeper of your soul. Father, thank you tonight. Lord, I thank God that I didn't wait on this computer that's still updating, but Lord, I want to thank you for being with us. You met with us tonight. You spoke through the Word of God to somebody tonight. Right now, there's somebody that's going through a test. There's somebody right now, they're going through a trial. They're wondering, when are they going to be done with this thing? When is it going to be over? Father, you already know the past, the present, and the future. But Lord, I know that as long as we go forward, we press toward the mark, you'll see us through the COVID-19. You'll see us through this election and anything else. Lord, as I pray for this great nation of America, I pray for the leader, President Donald Trump. May he continue to be a great leader. And Lord, may he bring greatness back to America. Lord, I know that when the church is raptured out, that America is going to fall by the wayside. And so, Father, I praise you tonight and thank you for this great opportunity. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Thank you for tuning us in, and thanks for all that you have done to be with us tonight. It's been another pleasure, and I thank God. Listen, when on my notes, when I put this on sermon audio later, I'll be putting the traits to dedicate your life to the Lord. There'll be several of them that I'll put on there, and so that will be on there that you'll find them a little bit later on, amen. Traits to dedicate your life to the Lord is one of those things that I'll put on there for you later on. Just look on the notes. And